Welcome back to another episode of the Meta Makers podcast. My name is Davis, and I'm here with my friend Roman Hayford. How are you doing today, Roman?
I'm doing so well.
We're in your home. Welcome. And there's all these beautiful plants around, and there's Native American flute music playing. It's quite the atmosphere.
It's really Sunday.
Super chill, man. I really like it.
It's Sunday.
So, Roman, thanks for taking the time to chat with me. I want to ask you a few things about your involvement in the community here in D.C. You've been involved with a few events that we've been involved with as well, considering Catharsis. And you even came to our New Year's Eve event, the Catharsis Meta Collab. So I just want to ask you a few things about that and then and see where the conversation goes.
Great.
Have no plans, just a genuine conversation, and it's all authentic, so whatever happens, happens.
Sounds good.
So you, you're involved with Catharsis. How long have you been involved with Catharsis?
Since the start of the event.
5 years ago.
5 years ago. What was that, 2015? I mean, 2014 is when we started talking about it in a concrete way. It's funny because the mall was like, the National Mall was a natural place that I think a number of people had dreams of creating a festival on or creating art on, large scale art on, that would be, you know, inspirational, visionary.
Oh yeah, considering DC is the capital. I mean, that's, yeah, pretty wild. Adam talked about that too on the podcast. People just literally, I think it was just a dream, really. Like you said, it wasn't like a, until what? You were like, hey guys, we could actually get the permit to do this.
Well, the series of events gets a little bit foggy for me, but you know, we were talking about it, throwing ideas around, and then at a certain point in around April, like 420, Adam and the DCMJers locked themselves to the first edition of the Liberty Pole, which is an institution that I just love. One of the many things that Adam has manifested in, I think, is so fun and so cool, the whole Liberty Pole, resurrecting that idea. So they locked themselves to a Liberty Pole on the Capitol, so that's like right in front of the Capitol, so like 3rd Street on the top level of the National Mall. And it kind of became a little scene, you know. There was a burn barrel, there were LEDs, people brought stuff.
Turned into like a party.
Kind of. A little bit of a party. And so that was definitely something that said, okay, you know, even though in a lot of ways that was sort of inverse from Catharsis, which had a full permit and we planned for months, whereas that action I remember being fairly spontaneous. But in some ways, that's kind of the Baker Beach of Catharsis, was that Liberty Pole.
So what is a Liberty Pole? I think I understand a little bit, but for those people that are listening, what is that?
A Liberty Pole, my understanding of a Liberty Pole is that in the American Revolution and maybe the French Revolutionary times, Liberty Poles were used. This is kind of the lore that I've gotten from Adam. They were basically just tall wooden poles that could be erected quickly, that were a sign that, okay, this is an instance of gathering for, you know, revolutionaries or free thinkers or people who are, you know, the contras, in other words. And it could happen quickly, and they were quickly deployable. So these are sort of like the original burners, right?
Yeah.
Of the DIY.
So just a big pole. And what's on the top of it?
Well, Adam puts a Liberty hat, a Liberty cap on the top of his Liberty pole. I don't know if that was the case for the original Liberty poles, but there's an obvious connection between the cap and the pole.
Mm-hmm. And what is that cap?
So I love this because I think everybody kind of gets their own. Everyone who's been introduced to the Liberty cap probably has their own understanding of it. And it kind of takes on a life of its own, which is great. That's one of the great things about symbols and art. But Liberty caps were, again, something you see throughout history, different historical revolutionary movements. In addition to other places, you have this cap that legend has it originated in the kingdom of Phrygia and was a sort of a tribal cap that then the Romans adopted from this kingdom that they kind of took over and admired. And it was used to symbolize freedom. So like a freed slave in the ceremony of manumission would be given this cap by the Romans to signify their freedom.
Yeah.
And so later it was worn by, again, French revolutionaries, American revolutionaries to symbolize, you know, this is, we want to be able to have self-rule. Mm-hmm. You know,
it's come back in waves.
It's come back in waves. And so, you know, the DCMJers and Adam have adopted it. This is Adam Eidinger. I keep talking about who is one of the founding partners for Catharsis here in DC. And in many ways, his activism and the activism of the DCMJ movement and other folks here is a key component of kind of the Catharsis community. And really where I think the community is going in general, as sort of our liberatory, especially in DC, we're more and more concerned with the environment, with responsible ecology, with permaculture, with regenerative, sustainable things. And aside from just kind of other political issues that are, people are, as the times grow graver and graver, I think maybe I'm in a bubble, but I don't think it's just our community that's progressively bringing our politics more and more into the festival culture. Mm-hmm. I mean, what do you think? Is that right? Am I imagining that? Is that just my lens?
No, I think you're right. And I think activism and environmentalism and sustainability and all this stuff that people are advocating for, and that's seeping its way into the festival culture, is out of necessity and out of just interest in general. It's entertainment when you go to a festival, and people want to see and hear what they're interested in. And because we're humans and sustainability is more of a human problem, more and more people are interested in that. So I think you're right. And it's cool to see different ways that, everybody has their own agenda. Activism has many different petals of the flower, I think. But ultimately, it seems like everyone is fighting, activism, I feel like, is a different branches of the same tree. Mm. And whether it's for women's rights or, same-sex marriage or stuff like anything, really, it seems like, unless you're radicalist and you're advocating for violence and stuff like that, all of it that's bringing people together. And it's that connection, it's the community. And so like the earth's not going to let us mess it up. Come on. The humans are going to kill each other and going to, really impact the earth. But really sustainability is so that humans can stay alive, right? The earth can purge, and plants will grow back, so when people think about saving the earth, it's like no, it's like we're saving ourselves, we're saving each other, we're saving future generations, not just the planet.
And so with Catharsis, I think that's right. And I think that personally, I've become, my own personal journey is one of becoming more passionate about activism or causes, social justice, that's grown in parallel with my own personal well-being and personal expansion.
Yeah, definitely.
And growth, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's an obvious thing, but I think that's where one of the cool sort of things about catharsis and where catharsis sits in this whole thing. You know, I'm part of other actions as well, sort of more traditional protests and marches and demonstrations and things like that. And catharsis really, I think, is about the experience first and the causes sort of second. And it's about saying, let's first take care of the fact that you're worth saving.
Mm-hmm.
I'm worth saving. But I think is, you know, there's so much complexity in language that, and in the, you know, the presidential, I can't keep it all straight. I don't feel all that knowledgeable or savvy when I watch these debates particularly. And I'm, you know, pretty well educated in a formal sense. So it's just, it's a lot to unpack for the average person, but I'm kind of into like, what's the simple idea here that we're avoiding or that's not so comfortable? The music's playing faster and faster. We're going to talk ourselves into greater and greater circles, intellectually speaking.
Yeah.
But what it all comes down to is like, do I believe that I'm worth saving?
Mm.
And do I believe that I can be saved? You know, what am I ashamed of? What are the blind spots that I don't know that I have? Or, you know, what are the traumas that I've experienced? What am I afraid of? You know, that's the beauty of these festival containers is the entertainment and the engagement that's fun and joyful is also, you know, liberatory in those senses. It opens up possibilities for who we are. And so I think catharsis is the goal when we talk about, you know, when people who are volunteers, you know, when you get excited about, like, why is it that you get excited about, you know, your mall going tourists coming into your dome and experiencing a sound healing or jumping into some workshop, some live painting or whatever it is, or chanting or whatever the heck, you know?
Yeah. We do a lot of weird stuff, but
it's weird stuff. Like it's because you're like, oh man, like think about the ways that this is going to open people up to be something that they didn't know they could be, you know, and there's just not enough spaces like that. And it's like from those experiences flow open minds from, I guess it's kind of simple from open hearts, flow open minds or something like that.
Can I quote you on that?
I think you're right, though. I think there's a quote in there somewhere,
dude.
It's Sunday afternoon.
You're right. And yeah, I just was resonating completely with that when you're saying it, because it's more than just the looks on their faces and like the smiles and the laughs. It's like really about how they're transforming on the inside. And I can say this from my personal experience because it's happened to me multiple times. Happens to me every event. Like it's better than anything I've seen. And catharsis is unique because you're in the middle of DC in the nation's capital and strangers are walking by. See, at our festival, Beauty in the Backyard, it's like you got to drive out there. You know, it's a 200-acre campgrounds and it's in the middle of kind of nowhere and you got to like know to show up. But when you're in DC and you're on the National Mall, you have, you know, travelers and tourists and people that have no idea that it was happening. And they're just blessed on their Friday or Saturday, and they show up and they're like, what is this? And they're so excited and they get to come in and see all these different things. It's like a sliver of Burning Man. And like, I know that that's an idea that has inspired you all greatly, but it's great. You know, there's no commitment. So the barrier to entry is super low. Anyone can get involved and it's even encouraged participation. So I mean, it doesn't get better than that.
You know, one of the cool things is, too, with it is, like, because it's so local, you know, we're in D.C. and we're working, like it or not, to make a difference. You know, I'm, you know, I have many sides to me, and like one of the sides to me is like I'm a pragmatic and I'm a government employee. You know, I work for local government now. That still kind of surprises me a little bit, but and with Catharsis, you know, perhaps unlike throwing a festival on private land, like we're really engaging with it's a pragmatic bureaucratic process, but it has dividends unexpectedly. So yesterday at the All Out DC action, which I was at, I show up and the Park Service is there, and it's like the main point person is the one of the same, you know, Park Service rangers that's our point person for Catharsis. So he recognized me right away and came over and started asking me about the generator and stuff like that. And he was on the phone with our longtime, with Marissa Richardson, who's our longtime liaison with the Park Service. She's kind of on a more managerial level now. And then the park police sergeant came over as well, and he recognized me right away. And he's like, will you come with me to go talk to MPD? And I had to slow him down and say, I'm not the organizer of this event. You know, like, don't, you know, there were some others in the group who were comfortable, you know, for various reasons, engaging with law enforcement and others not. But I guess I'm on a kick now where, you know, with my restorative justice work, that's my paid work, and with Catharsis and building that community, like what gets me excited is like just the nitty gritty of culture change and institutional pushing what's possible within our existing institutions to create change. And you know, there's beauty to be made everywhere. And there's so much beauty in a Burning Man, like the completely blank alien, you know, moonscape where you can create completely imaginary worlds off of tabula rasa, right? It's a different thing when we're on the National Mall. We didn't choose the National Mall in the way that the, in the way that Danger Ranger and Larry Harvey and the Cacophony Society.
Oh yeah.
The way that the Cacophonists chose in their bad day at Black Rock when they escaped to the Black Rock Desert, they chose that spot, right? We didn't choose the National Mall. The National Mall is the ultimate contested, compromised space that physically, geographically, politically, historically, we didn't choose it, but it's there, and it is what we have to work with.
It's pretty
epic.
I think
it is epic. It's no less epic. That's true. Both are pretty epic places.
Definitely.
You know,
for what it's worth. I mean, yeah. Politically, historically, I mean, you're right, man. It's like, I remember the first time I went to Catharsis, like I think it was the second year, and just like standing there and I'm looking around me and I'm just amazed. I'm perplexed. I'm confused. I feel like I'm being watched. Like maybe that's just, you know, ingrained paranoia and thinking of the fact that like, what is going on here really? Like, because I really didn't understand at all like what it was yet. And so it kind of from an outsider's perspective, I was just like, I thought it felt like a weird setup almost. But then it felt liberating after that, because when you have that cathartic moment, right, that's the point. And I got to a point, I'm like, it doesn't matter. It literally doesn't matter. And I'm free from that. And so I just let go of those, like, release your inhibitions. No, I like let go of that, what was bothering me. And I'm like, you know what? I just got to let it all hang out. And whoever sees me. I'm having a good time. I love myself. And I'm here to share good energy.
Wow, that's so great. I had the exact same experience this year. You know, the foam camp came for the first time this year. We had foaming at Catharsis this year, which was one of like the big victories of this past May. We could do it because it was May, first of all.
Right,
I think the foam sort of encapsulated like the level up of May, right?
Yes.
And I remember like going in and being like, okay, it's one thing when I get foamed, you know, group shower, pretty much naked. at Burning Man, who cares? Like, that's the point, right? But even that's a little bit of a, you know, of an edge maybe. Mm-hmm. But,
and you're in the middle of the desert.
In the middle of the desert. Here, it's on 15th Street and Constitution Avenue. you know, like in front of the African American History Museum with everybody around and like all, it's almost like a, it's almost like that, that self-consciousness and like careful, cautious, you know, is it not so true? I mean, there are versions of myself, you know, law school graduate, you know, security clearance holder or whatever, or being whatever, like they would say, what are you thinking? Like all these things that I've done, like, don't do that. It's going to ruin your career, you know, and
reputation,
like, but
people might see you take videos.
It's like I said, I think that it's a lot of things, but I do think that society now in a post-Trump world, things are so left ways and sideways that, whether it's Daybreaker, which is another sort of monthly manifestation of awesomeness that I've been a part of as a producer, but now as just a huge fan. Whether it's Malcolm X Park on Sundays with acro yoga and flow arts happening alongside more traditional rituals of that space with the drum circle. All these spaces, like the pores are open. People are being bombarded with free expression in all its forms, not just free speech. And I think there's more social acceptance for it. I think that's the zeitgeist right now.
I think you're right.
And it's sort of like we just short circuit, right? Like all those concerns just kind of bubble up. And that maybe that is one of the cathartic moments where you just say, forget it. Like, I'm not at a festival, but I'm damn well going to act like I am.
Yep. Yeah, no, I totally feel you. And shout out to Matthew Silver.
Yes, thank you for being emblematic.
I love you so much, Matthew. We met a few years ago at Catharsis, and like, you've been an inspiration ever since. And I was definitely in the foam. I was definitely taking a shower. I was definitely half naked, and I was definitely having a good time. And like, there's people that are with their kids. They're taking videos. They're confused, but then the kids look like, that looks so much fun, and they want to get in, right? Because those kids are, guess what, still kids,
right?
And kids know how to have fun. It's like we forget how to have fun as we get older. No longer.
Yep.
Okay, so you're a law student, or you were a law student, law graduate. I apologize. And you are the main lawyer for Catharsis. How difficult is that process?
Well,
because like that's I mean, from a bureaucratic standpoint, like, you know, I'm familiar with requesting you know, access for permits and stuff like that, but dude,
the our permit takes more than a year it takes many months to complete. It's over 100 pages long.
Oh my gosh.
We meet with the Park Service, sort of a core group of us, half a dozen or more times before each event in person. That's not to mention, of course, all the email traffic. I mean, I'd be shocked to see another event on the National Mall that has ever been as complex as ours. I know that's a bold statement.
I mean,
and I'm sure the inauguration and like the Folklife Festival are complex, but ours is so different. Like, we've pushed like every boundary that they have, and we're also like a private group. We're not government affiliated. It's different when you have the channels of, you know, the Smithsonian or the executive branch working together. We are private citizens putting this on. So maybe that's probably a bit bold. You know, there's been a lot of actions on the National Mall, but we definitely pushed the envelope, and we're proud of that. And every detail down to the number of, you know, the number of watts in every battery, the number of feet on every stand, the number of cubic inches between every post of every stage, the engineering drawings for everything, you know, all of it. It is the perfect logistical challenge for capable, you know, DC burners who think they have their shit together. We've met our match.
You said it right.
But luckily, we have Joshua Carroll on our team, who I don't think the burner world has ever been prepared for. Like, this guy is like, I mean, this man's mind. What Joshua, like, I hope you outlive me, but when you die, dude, like, we need to give your brain an autopsy or something. It needs to be preserved for science.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, no, we just, Joshua especially, but we have just such incredibly talented and competent.
Yeah, I feel like it's
people
one of those
in this community,
things,
right?
It's one of those things where you can't even start to shout out people because like, yeah, there's too many people to shout out, and everyone that's involved is like really involved and like to their perspective is giving a lot. So you can't even like start to name people because it would not do everyone's, you know, input justice. That's how I feel.
Yeah, no. So, you know, the first, we're talking a lot about catharsis. Is that cool?
Totally. It's whatever flows.
It's kind of a nice prism.
I mean, it's
from which a lot of other things
exactly
kind of flow. We try to pack in a lot of things
exactly
to that.
And I like asking you about catharsis again because we host events. We've been involved with catharsis for 2 years now. We've done an event and we're in DC. I mean, it's like there's a lot of synchronicities here. And we're talking about these transformations in a world that needs it. And it's like the biggest, coolest thing that happens in DC all year.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
cool. I mean, it's okay to completely talk about that. I wanted to ask you a little bit more about like, because you are a government official, right? Is it fair to say that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you care about social justice and you care about equality and you know, positive change and stuff like that. I wanted to ask you from, I guess, both perspectives, one from a government official and then one from just like a civilian that's just like trying to live their life, about change and about getting involved in the community and about informing yourself to make those educated decisions. Because a lot of people are in silos in their houses. They don't leave their houses. A lot of people aren't connecting. Most people don't know your neighbors. If you're listening to this and you know your neighbor,
right,
awesome. If you don't, just knock on their door, like bring them like a dessert or something. And, anyway, get to know them. So
yeah,
in terms of like getting involved, it's in terms of, getting involved and making the change or even just becoming part of the change. How would you recommend that people get involved? What are those steps from being scared in your room alone and then being educated and like on the right path to feeling like your energy is actually being invested well?
I think lately I've just been thinking that if it's almost like if you're not, because everything, you know, we started this, I don't know if it was on tape, but you were telling me this great story of the Bass Nectar set, Electric Force, which I'm sad I missed and I have to like to catch up on my Bass Nectar, but everything is connected. Like the systems and the gears of this machine like have to move together, so we all have to move together, and like for me that means everybody getting up, going to work, leaving their homes with a similar understanding about the sorts of culture change that needs to be part of our daily practice, in the same way that yoga is part of my practice, in the same way, or whatever embodiment practice or education practice, routine, ritual, healthy eating. I think relationship building and culture change has to be a similar thing that we think about. You know, I think we're at a point where when we think about our practice, it's very individual centered. It's like, what mantras am I saying, or what, how long am I sitting for my meditations, or what yoga am I doing? What am I eating? But what about like what am I doing to culture change and where I go to work every day? Even if I work from home, you said it yourself. Like you build systems. Like we are so much more powerful than we realize. And if we really step into owning who we're interfacing with on the other side at work, that other person, that thing that we both have to struggle through, whatever that is, whatever piece of the matrix that thing is, like, what am I doing to have the bravery to acknowledge where that's problematic and where that creates suffering if I don't like it, you know, but also do the difficult work, the detailed work to think about, like, what would it actually take to, like, how many levers can I see from my vantage point do I need to tap and start talking about that might shift this a little bit? Mm. It's not necessarily sexy, but it's like, you know.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And it is what you said. It's waking up. It's talking about things, just getting more comfortable having those conversations about, you know, creating a committee or something like that. Or I don't know, you know, but
I love how you answered that question really different than what I was expecting you to answer.
Really?
Because I mean, that's authentic and I love that. It's like, I wanted to know, like, how the person could get out into the world and, like, learn a system or, like, get involved in some nonprofit or, like, you know, file a certain way for a different. And you're just like, it starts in the mind. And I'm like, you're so right. It does. Because our external environments are a reflection of our internal environments. And so if we want to create peace in the world, we have to create peace within ourselves. And the Native American flute is still playing in the background. And I hope that everybody can hear that. Because, no, it's so true. Meditation, yoga, you know, it's so important. And not even, you know, yoga is a religion. So it doesn't even have to be that. Just stretching, becoming comfortable with your body, you know, getting the blood flow, meditating, breathing practices. I mean, scientifically, meditation increases the gray matter in your brain, reduces stress, lengthens your life, okay, for those people out there that care about health. I mean, the science is out. Meditation is healthy for you. Yoga, I mean, or any type of stretching, it gets the blood flowing, reduces, you know, tears and stuff like that. So it's like taking care of ourselves first in order to take care of the world. I love it.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. And what kind of yoga poses are your favorite, by the way?
Oh, man. I'm working on handstand, you know, right now. And that feels so nice. Like, because my shoulders have been I carry a lot of stress in my shoulders. Mm-hmm. So to be able to actually, like, narrow that and, like, kick my shoulders back and feel that bone stacking is, like, really, it's a long time coming. But I really like Ashtanga yoga, slow, deep stretches, you know, led by the breath, you know. That's how I learned Ashtanga. I'm not saying
I've never even heard of that one.
Ashtanga yoga very well, but, like, there's, like, a primary series that you can look it up. I mean,
when did you start doing yoga?
Four or five years ago, like, a lot. You know,
you just like saw other people around doing it. Daybreaker.
Daybreaker.
Was it Daybreaker?
I don't think it was Daybreaker. Just, you know, getting more into it, you know, slipping into the scene and the vibe. I mean, it's kind of everywhere. But once I found a practice that I could do on my own, I do like to take a class, like, at least, like, once a month. Mm. But I found, like, with the Ashtanga primary series, my roommate and I just started doing that together and, like, comparing notes, and it just stuck with me.
Yeah. Like, do you feel like a lot of women are leading change these days?
Good question. Yes.
Because I feel like when I heard about yoga, and I feel like most guys hear about yoga, they're like, I'm not about to put my butt in the air and, like, or do that weird, like, thing.
Yeah.
And then you see the girls doing it, and they're like, wow, they look great doing that, and they look happy. And then you're like, you know, maybe I should try that, right? And then, like, the crystals and people caring about essential oils and, like, all this holistic stuff. It's like, if you look at that, it seems like a big shift of energy of such a, we've been such a male dominated society for so many years. And there's a lot of, like, that female energy balancing it out, coming in.
Such a good point. I, you know, it's funny because my daily embodiment practice used to be running. Like I said, I ran track in college and stuff, and I love running, but I don't know if this is a perfect thing. It's not like it's a sumo wrestling or something that's, like, obviously very masculine, but there is a sort of linear, mm-hmm, masculine sort of
left brain.
It's very forced.
Yeah, you just go to straight
like,
line.
And it's very like, let me time myself. And I'm not saying all those sort of traditionally like masculine, linear, achievement-oriented metrics have disappeared with my yoga practice, but it's definitely different.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's funny how like there's been a shift, at least in that area for me, in terms of my daily. And I hadn't thought of it until you just mentioned that. So,
yeah. Wait, aren't there more female yoga teachers?
I'm sure. Yeah. No, that makes a lot of sense.
And like, shout out to the social media influencers. Like, these people are not only supporting themselves and their family, but inspiring millions of people to do something that's healthy because they look good doing it. And guess what? If you don't look good doing it, so what? It's like they have had the money and resources and time to make those photos look really good. Take that in mind also. It's not always pretty, and it takes practice. Like, trust me, yoga is hard.
It was really hard.
But it's fun. And when you like feel that breath, that relaxing, like, you know, it's not fun to have cramped legs or anything like that.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about one more thing, but I can't remember what it was. Oh, what are you excited for in the upcoming, or I guess the rest of this year? What are some things you're looking forward to, or maybe a project that you're working on?
Sure, man. I'm excited about, so yeah, I just can't help but think kind of hyper locally. And you know, there was an event this weekend that I couldn't be at. It was called Building Convergence. I don't know if you heard about that. You know, just there's more and more real energy around designing every aspect of our lives together in community in ways that are more healthy. And that's exciting to me. Kind of personally in, and this isn't really festival oriented or anything like that, but I just joined a network called the Healers for Liberation Network. And was introduced to some really amazing healers in the activist space with a broad definition of what that means, who are interested in making sure that we're integrate in the same way that earlier we were talking about I said that what's on my heart is like, how does everybody take responsibility for culture change? How do we make healing in the way that catharsis does, in sort of a big grandiose way, but to take that and make keeping each other well and nourished and healed, how do we make that part of our activist work so that activism doesn't feel like running, but feels more like yoga?
Nice.
You know? So like things like that are just popping up all over the place, and I am just digging in as much as possible and, you know, trying to build bridges east of the river and with Northwest, you know, in the same way that we're trying to build bridges with the local arts community and the international arts community with catharsis. And I just, that's the stuff that excites me. I mean, even yesterday at this action, this is just one action here in DC, and there was like a lot of people making connections, talking, you know, catharsis came up, and just the continued energy behind, you know, what can we do? What new connections can we make? It just is really exciting. There's more and more artists, I think, that are both, you know, sort of local artists and healers and activists that are thinking the same way, and that I can drop in with and are doing exciting things, you know, whether it's how do we bring, you know, MDMA assisted psychotherapy to communities of color, or whether it's how do we bring more indigenous art to the mall? You know, these are just not conversations we were having when I first got into this community. And so I just want to keep showing up. Some of my, you know, and then we haven't even talked about, you know, the migrant crisis and the concentration camps and all of that. And that super intense thing that, you know, how can that be served by festival culture? But you better believe it. Look how many works of art and installations we had that were done by folks who are not American citizens and who are directly related to refugee and migrant crises, both here and abroad. So Yeah, man, that's what I want to show up for. I want to work on art projects with people. I want to learn from a ever broadening scope of demographics within our community, of people who are feeling freer, collaborators who are being included and feeling free and given the space. The space is being created to really bring the most needed, the most relevant feminist art to bear for, you know, to into the mainstream public sphere. Like, that's a lot. It's kind of theoretical, but that's what I'm just like, I feel like it's being created for me and I'm just showing up. Like,
so plugged in. You literally are so connected, and like in your mind, it's like, it's because I want to be connected. Of course, it's like, it's happening. So how can people connect with you? People want to get involved. They get excited about what you're saying. How can they connect with you?
Oh, just find me, man. So my Facebook is Roman Burns, which was a Facebook profile I made because I was working at a big law firm when I first went to Burning Man, and I didn't want any of my pictures that were posted from Burning Man to be on my regular Facebook profile. So I made this profile like the day before I left for Burning Man, and now it's like my main profile. So that's I
says
think
something,
I'm
doesn't it?
I does, I'm on Instagram too. Roman Burns, I think, is also on Instagram. You gotta see, I need your leadership to plug me in. I'm plugged in some ways, but I am not plugged in on social media as much as I should be.
All good. We'll drop the link so it makes it easier for people to connect with you. And as always, if you want to see what we're up to, you can go to our website. It's metacreative.world, metacreative.world. We are writing blogs, we're posting events, we're working on our Creative Arts Retreat in October, and we're really excited for that. So hopefully we can be connected and continue collaborating in the future. And as always, this has been an episode of the Meta Makers Podcast, Collaborative Arts, Inspiring Sustainability. Thanks for listening.